Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, April 11th. It's your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, we'll get an update on the news from the Capitol and talk about the higher education budget bill. Minnesota business leaders are pushing back against the tax and spending proposals from DFL Governor Mark Dayton and Democratic legislative majorities. Tim Pugmire reports.
A coalition of business groups called United for Jobs is airing a new television ad that criticizes the proposed income tax increase on the wealthiest 2% of Minnesotans. They contend that lawmakers should instead be focused on spending smarter. Charlie Weaver, executive director of the Minnesota Business Partnership, said the coalition is raising questions about the need for increased spending.
Hardworking Minnesota taxpayers cannot afford 7% increase in spending at a time when the economy is only growing at 2%. It's unsustainable and sets us up for more taxes that people can't afford in the future.
A spokesman for the governor said that corporate special interests have not been paying their fair share of taxes and don't want to. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Members of the State House Tax Committee criticized the Mayo Clinic CEO yesterday for suggesting that the clinic could expand in other states if the legislature doesn't deliver more than $500 million for improvements to Rochester. The Mayo Clinic CEO John Noseworthy made the remarks at the National Press Club earlier this week. He said that 49 other states would be eager to have the clinic expand there. At a tax committee hearing at the state capitol yesterday, several lawmakers took issue with that, saying they're responsible for protecting the interests of taxpayers. DFL Representative John Lesh of St. Paul told a Mayo Clinic official he's not sure the clinic deserves a subsidy.
And I know it's hard to come in here, and you can't say this about your CEO, but I'll say it. That was a dumb thing to say. It was dumb, dumb, dumb. This is not our first rodeo. We've had to weigh these kinds of considerations in the past. And we look at it critically. These are taxpayer dollars.
Mayo Clinic officials assured lawmakers they want to keep their headquarters in Minnesota. The clinic is promising $3 billion in private investment in Rochester if the state authorizes more than $500 million for roads, bridges, parking, and other amenities there. A plan to shore up the state's contribution to the new Viking Stadium made its debut at the state capitol yesterday. Tim Nelson has that.
The plan would levy a 10% wholesale tax on sports-themed clothing and memorabilia licensed by professional sports leagues. It would also tax luxury stadium and arena boxes, as well as personal seat licenses. The Vikings are hoping to sell personal seat licenses to help pay the team's portion of the stadium cost. Finance experts say the additional taxes could help fill in the gap left by disappointing electronic pull tab revenues. Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority Chairwoman Michelle Kelm Helgen told lawmakers it sounded like a good option.
It would, I think, provide a good cushion here for the next year. It makes a lot of sense, and it was part of the agreement last year.
But negotiators had removed the memorabilia tax from the final agreement approved by the legislature. DFL sponsor Ann Lencheski said she hopes to include the backup stadium financing in an overall tax bill. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Democrats on the Senate Higher Education Committee are rolling out their budget plan today. The House is expected to follow suit on Monday. Like so many things at the Capitol this year, the approach to higher ed marks a dramatic about-face from the way the state has been heading for most of the past decade. I called up DFL Representative Gene Pawlowski of Winona, who chairs the House Higher Education Finance and Policy Committee, to talk about a central part of the bill, a freeze on tuition increases.
That would be correct in our bill. I'm not exactly sure that's correct in the Senate bill, but it's correct in our bill.
Why is that a top priority?
Why is it a top priority? Because over the last 8 years, we have had historic cuts to higher education in the state. In fact, some of the largest cuts in the United States have been to higher education in Minnesota. We have had historic tuition increases, and again, we've had some of the largest tuition increases in the country. And now we're finding out the consequence. And the consequences are, first, historic debt, that students are graduating with a debt that we would have thought unimaginable a decade ago. Secondly, what we have probably done is burden this current generation with that level of debt. And then we have probably denied the next generation access to higher education because you simply can't afford it.
Obviously, the Democrats are in control now. Has something else changed since the last round? Because, as you say, higher ed always seemed to be first in line for the cuts when there was a budget shortfall.
Well, it could be first in line because they're one of the few groups, maybe the only group, that prints money. They printed it in what's called tuition. Both the University of Minnesota and the Minsky system raised tuition. I would argue they raised tuition more than they needed to, that they were arbitrary about it, and that they also had excessive administration on top of it that encouraged the raising of tuition. However, we're restoring now legislative oversight. I think you saw Governor Carlson's op-ed in the Star Trib, mainly focused on the university, but there are corollary arguments with the Minsky system also.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because you were obviously critical when the university paid $2.5 million to Tubby Smith. There was Governor Carlson's criticism. There was that Wall Street Journal article about administration at the university. And yet, you're still increasing their funding. It would sound from all that criticism as if there's room for cuts in administration that could roll down to the students.
You haven't seen all of our bill yet. You'll see more of it on Monday. There are also parts of our bill that we have worked. I've had four meetings with a legislative auditor. You will see oversight language on Monday that begins to address both the reporting to the legislature on a mandatory basis, on a regular basis of how they're spending the money. And it's very likely you're going to see parts of our bill focusing on administration. So let's also remember that it was President Kaler. One of his first statements when he became president of the U was his observation that there was excessive administration at the University of Minnesota. I would say there are also excessive salaries. To the argument that this is market-driven, I don't buy. And in fact, if it's market-driven, what market would be driving this? Would it have been Wall Street? Would it have been real estate? Would it have been the automotive? What market would have driven this type of behavior for administrative salaries and benefits?
Okay, so we'll look forward to that on Monday. Your bill also does increase financial aid, right?
In a very small way. Remember, I'm at 150 over base. Mm-hmm. The Senate is 250 over base. They have 100 million more. So just to make sure there are no tuition increases, we've expended almost $150 million. That's how expensive it is to keep tuition flat. Now, you said we're giving money back to the systems. We're giving money to the systems to hold tuition down. This is money that the students would not have to pay, or they wouldn't have to borrow to pay. So it's a little bit different than just giving money to the systems.
Mm-hmm. Do you think higher education institutions in the state of Minnesota are still a good deal for the average student, or has that shifted over the past decade?
No, they're not at these prices. They're not a good deal for anyone. They're almost to a point, particularly in the 2 years. 10 years ago, the tuition at our two-year institutions, our community colleges and tech colleges, was about 25th in the nation. We're now number two. That is number two, the highest tuition. And that's something when you see Minsky get up and talk about, you know, being market-driven, I come back with, well, you're also market-driven here, too. I guess what you want is the highest tuition in this country. I'd like to see it back at least to the middle or even below that.
And this legislation says they can't raise it. Do you expect to see in the next few years any move toward that, any cuts in tuition?
If we can, if we had more resources, yes. I'd like to see us go back to where the state picked up approximately two-thirds of the cost and the student picked up a third. What we've done in less than a decade is reverse it. We've now said the students are going to pick up two-thirds to three-quarters, and the state's picking up a quarter or less. That's how much the change has occurred over this great recession.
Hmm. Well, Representative Gene Pawlowski of Winona, thanks so much for talking with me.
You're welcome, Mike.
We'll look forward for more on Monday.
Oh, you're going to see more, I can guarantee it.
DFL Representative Gene Pawlowski of Winona, who chairs the House Higher Education Finance and Policy Committee. That's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.